Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast from La Belle Provence. This week, Antoine, you and I are talking about Figurines Québec, and we're doing a little bit of a mailbag show. So why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Geeks of the North. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filio, here again this week with my co-host, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello.
Better late than never. And Yom Le Machine.
Hello.
That was just strange.
Yes.
How are you guys doing? Because you both sound odd.
It's been a day.
How about you, Antoine?
Oh, good. The weekend was... long, a lot of hours, but now it's good.
Now the pressure's off. Yes. The show is over. The painting competition's done. You can go back to commissions and maybe painting stuff for yourself if you have a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really kind of bummed out I didn't get a chance to make it this weekend. My plans all got dashed, so such is life.
Yeah.
All right, so... this week we're going to have a two-part main topic. First part being talking about the Figurines Québec painting competition. And then the second half of the main topic, we're just going to be answering a bunch of different questions we've gotten from our fans recently that we thought were interesting and thought we could, thought deserved a little more airtime than our typical question of the week. But of course, as always, we're first going to start off with our hobby time. And wait a minute. Did something get cut out of the dock? Antoine, are you cutting stuff out?
I did gray something out.
Yeah. Yeah. But there was something there a second ago, so I'm all confused.
Mm-hmm.
Are we not doing that now?
Not today.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay. You just threw a pole off balance right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, because I had the link open for the...
we had such a good start, like Paul was on track.
yeah, and then Antoine goes and changes the dock on me. So for our fans who are listening, all three of you, we had a cool stuff on the web thing, and then Antoine pulled it out of the dock after I already had the dock open. So, but that's okay. That'll just be there next time. So we're going to go right into hobby time then. And as always, I'll go first. So I've had a fairly productive hobby time. I've been working a lot on my Reaver Titan for my impending game against Yom. I'm not sure when exactly it's going to happen now, but...
June?
June, yeah. We keep saying June, but June's a long month.
I was saying May 1st, but no, May is a no-go, so June?
Yeah, it'll be June. It'll be June. So I've got my Reaver Titan fairly far, like, advanced. I'm doing trim now, metallic trim on the armor plates. And I've also got Imperial Knight, another one that I've painted, that I've got to the same stages. So that'll go pretty quickly at this point. Hopefully, time permitting, I can get those done this weekend. That would be nice. Aside from that, I've been working on a Warhound Titan, assembling that. And I'd love to be able to throw some paint on that beginning of next week.
Assembling a Warhound.
Yeah. Not a fun kit. I'm not enjoying it at all. Typical resin stuff, there's warpage and parts don't exactly line up, and there's going to be a whole lot of green stuff going on in some areas. But the main problem is the legs. I'm not a big pinner overall. But the way the Warhound legs are made, they're kind of, like, reversed almost.
Mm-hmm.
Like chicken legs.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, exactly. So, and the way they're made, I think the legs are 3 or 4 pieces. And I think I'm really going to have to figure out some way to pin it all. Because you can't have... If your legs are going straight down to the ground and you don't pin and you just got crazy glue holding all together, it's fine because the weight's transferred straight all the way to the ground. But when you've got your reverse leg and the weight's all on an overhang, that puts a lot of stress on that reverse knee. So just glue, I don't think, will hold it. So I'm going to have to come up with some way to
I wouldn't even consider nut pinning that thing. It's funny, right? It's like a second nature now. I pin everything, so I would not even consider pinning.
Well, I don't think pin nothing.
This time I think it's a must. You will have to share a bit of my world and pin.
We'll see.
Join us!
Maybe enough glue and green stuff crammed into the joints I can avoid it. Let's see.
Yeah, sure.
I've already broken off, with the help of 80% G, I've already broken my Reaver Titan's hip because it wasn't pinned.
Cake that thing in glue, Paul, instead of just pinning it.
That's exactly what I did with my Reaver Titan. I held back the leg where it was supposed to go and I filled the gap with glue. Like four layers of Zappa Gap. We'll see. I don't know. And I don't know what I'm going to do with the body because the gaps are so huge. We'll have to see how it goes. But once I get the legs done, and then I just have to glue on all the pistons. There's not a lot of pieces to the Warhound, at least. So once I got the legs assembled and I glued in all the pistons, everything should go together fairly quickly. So that's nice, at least. And then I've got a second one on the way. So I'll try to get that done quickly when it comes in. Along with my my AdMech stuff. So.
But you have another Warhound in the mail?
Yes.
That's what you said. But you already had two before building this one and ordering. So you are going to have four?
No. I have one old armor cast Warhound.
Yeah.
Which I was debating on repainting. But it just doesn't look... The aesthetic won't fit, right? Because this is so old school looking.
Yes.
So what I did was... And I had a new one. The new one wasn't assembled. So I'm assembling that one now. And then I ordered a second one. So I'll still have two Warhounds like I always planned against you. It's just they'll both be current modern Warhounds as opposed to one modern one and one old armor cast one.
Okay.
And I've got different weapons on both. For shits and giggles.
Yay! No spamming.
That's right. Yeah. So one I think is the Turbo Laser Destructor and the Vulcan Mega Bolter.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is the Plasma Cannon and the Flamer.
A Flamer? Should be super efficient against me, yes.
It's the Titan-sized Flamer too, right? So it's that huge one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a place.
It's
So it's so long as the narrow tip is closer to me than the round tip.
Yeah, I get it. Like you throw it.
You throw it, exactly. So. But it doesn't mean I'll hit you with it, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, there goes my commandos.
Well, we'll see. I plan on, and I got to finish building the table. I'm going to have to organize a help Paul build the table day, because otherwise it's not going to happen. I've got all kinds of kits to assemble. For buildings, for GW buildings. And I want to make sure the table has lots of line of sight blocking terrain so that my super heavy insanity doesn't just annihilate you before you can do anything, because that's no fun for anyone. So I really want to make sure that your orcs have plenty of hiding places and cover.
To go cower and cry and hide.
To shoot me from the cracks and crevices.
Well, I volunteer, of course. If I'm going to play on it, participate.
Yeah, because I've got, I think, about 10 or 12 GW terrain kits to assemble now. For, like, the building terrain kits, you know, you cut out all the panels and you glue them together to make whatever shape building you want. So, I've got quite a few of those stockpiled. So we can build some giant manufactorum or something for the center of the table. It'll look cool.
We have two big... terrain piece that we did for our city fight table that were never done. So maybe I could bring Yom's one back and work on mine, and you could have two big centerpiece terrain piece.
Yeah. And I think I have one here too from Papa Guillaume. Like the big tower with the landing pad, don't you remember that?
Oh, that's really big.
Yes.
You might have cover for your at least your Warhound, and maybe the Reaver.
Well, that's pretty cool. So I got all that to do, and also I think I'm gonna. I'm still flipping back and forth whether or not I want to use the GW City Fight table, or if I want to just use my table from last year and paint some details on it. Because I got a, I think I mentioned in a previous show, at Adepticon I picked up a stencil for Hazard Stripes. That's all kinds of different Hazard Stripes and different like layouts of it, and like doors and like all kinds of stuff. So you can do a basically an Adeptus Mechanicus style table. And I think those look really cool. And to do them on the GW table that already has all those crazy little details and nooks and crannies on it, I just don't know where I'd use those stencils effectively. And also the tables don't really look AdMech, because there's big Imperial Eagles all over the place, and I don't know. It just doesn't have the same look and feel to me. So we'll have to see. Maybe I'll get you guys over and we'll have a discussion about it. We'll pick a table to work on, and I'll run with that one. But I need professional opinions.
I would suggest going with the one from last year, because that's less work to put in.
I was about to say the same thing.
Well, I've got all the base coats painted on the GW table.
Oh, okay.
Still. It's all base coated. It hasn't been washed or anything, and no detail work's been done, but it's all base coated. So at least there's that. Anyway. Moving on, because I got sidetracked a bit there. I finished painting a Shadow Mode Candy Chibi for Super Dungeon Explorer. Yes, that was supposed to be for the Monochromatic Challenge, which I didn't complete it in time. And now that I've said that she's completed, I'm thinking, wait a minute, did I actually complete it? We'll go with she's completed enough.
Yeah.
And I think I forgot to do her boots, but... No, they're so small. I mean, they're like little stubs. They don't really count. So yeah, that was a fun little fig. I really enjoy doing the chibi figs now. I just got to find something to do with them. And,
well, there's a game called...
called Frost Super Grave? Dungeon?
No.
Oh, Frostgrave. Yeah, that was last episode, Jon. We discussed that already.
There's an investment in tactics that you could use.
Yes, that's more likely. And actually, I've got... it reminds me. I've got figurines for both of you.
Yeah, Liz told me so, and I never saw it, so...
Well, I think I've seen you once since Adepticon, and I didn't have it with me. So I got... Yeah, Liz had one for you, and I bought one for Antoine. So we've got Dragoon Chibis for everyone.
Woohoo! That's cool. Liz even checked that I received the model all right. I was like, no, I haven't heard anything from Paul. Oh, I'll talk to him. I'll hunt him down.
Yeah, I bought one for myself, so I don't need to steal yours. It's all good. Actually, it was funny because like, well, it's one per customer. I'm like, but I need two. They're like, but Matt's like, but it's really one per customer. I'm like, the other one's for Antoine. Just like, okay, fine. I'm sure Emily wouldn't mind if it's for Antoine. It's like, yes, that's right. So, Antoine has friends everywhere. And last on my hobby list, I've been working on, I assembled an old metal Manowar Shock Trooper and a Manowar Demolition Corps. To complete my old 4-man units from Mark I of War Machine. Well, since I heard a rumor that apparently Manowars might be useful in Mark III, I'm going whole hog.
So you were already going whole hog with your Manowar tank, so team.
Well, I wasn't. Okay, maybe. So yeah, now I've got 5 units of Manowars, 5 full squads of 5. Of different varieties of Manowars, so that's pretty cool. And I picked up the Manowar mechanic, because that's an awesome looking fig. So, and
what Darius should have looked like.
Yeah, Darius wishes he looks that good, eh?
Yep.
Maybe Darius. You know, they're resculpting a lot of stuff. Maybe Darius is gonna resculpt. He doesn't look like a. I don't even know how to describe
it. Fat chicken.
Yeah, it's kind of... I always thought his model was kind of cool. And I haven't seen it in Mark II, right? Because no one plays in Mark II.
Yeah. Even I try from time to time because I like the model, but...
Well, he's terrible in Mark II, right? He's
terrible.
But... Yeah, he was so good in Mark I.
Oh, yeah.
That they just... They could, I mean, yeah.
Oh, he was a total beast in Mark I.
You know, the half-jacks were brutal, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so... I get why they toned him down, but he went too far the other way. Anyway, so who knows? Maybe you'll get a new model for him. Because he doesn't look bad, but he's kind of bulbous and weird-looking. The aesthetic is a little strange.
I love him. I think he looks cute.
Yeah, oh, but cute...
You're all fat and little cuddly and cute.
I don't think cute was what they were going for, though, Yo. That's the problem, right? He doesn't even look like one of their warjacks. At least Karchev looks like a Kator warjack, right?
Yeah.
And is he using a quake hammer?
Yes.
Okay, I never realized that before. I don't think I've ever looked at his stat card. I just remember getting completely hosed by him in Mark I and being like, "What the hell is going on?" And then all of a sudden, he just disappeared from Mark II. So I assumed he sucked, and then sure enough, it's because he sucked. It's
because they toned him down. What happened, they toned him down a lot because it was made to be played with Colossals that did not exist at the time. So, like, they came out 2 years, I think, after Mark II. So he sucked for 2 years. And then Colossals came out, and it was good if you took, like, two Colossals, it was good. If you took two Colossals. I mean, what came of ass will take two Stormwall. But anyway. So that's why they had to tone it down.
A bunch of competitive player playing.
A. Yeah. Yeah, I know. That was a rhetoric question.
Well, I'm not a competitive player, and I have lists with two Stormwalls. Or I have a list with a Stormwall and a Galleon.
You have list. Have you played
it? You have list. You have never played it.
Oh, that's I totally would have. There was no question about it. It's a matter of having stuff painted. But I would totally play it. But thing is, I would suck at it, so it wouldn't matter. You know, the rest of my list would be all kinds of weird, stupid shit.
Yeah.
I'd just have two giant robots stomping around the table doing stuff. It would be good. Anyway. And, sorry, I forgot I had one more thing that's kind of hobby. So I've been working on a video review for Grex for their Tritium XGI airbrush. It's their pistol grip airbrush.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To post on our YouTube channel and for them to post. Because I got one from them, I guess, just before Christmas, and then life just kind of caught up with me. And I say I got one from them. I actually bought it from them. They did give me a bit of a rebate because I was going to do a review. But I insisted on paying for it, so the reviews can't be considered biased. And to be honest, they actually thought that was kind of awesome that I was like, yeah, no, I'll buy it. Just I'm looking for a rebate for review. And then I took a bunch of accessories and stuff, to different things to try. So they have some wide spray nozzles, almost like if you're doing, like, say, automotive body painting, where you want to spray like a 6-inch flat line of paint,
mm-hmm.
like a 6-inch wide line of paint, you know? So that's kind of cool. For terrain painting and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I had in mind. That would be great for terrain.
And especially with the pistol grip. And the Tritium comes with a very, very large paint cup. Like, probably enough to put a whole bottle of, like, Minotaur paint in.
Okay. Wow.
Like, it comes with a big-ass paint cup.
Wow, okay.
And I have to say, I've been super impressed with the airbrush. I painted most of my Reaver Titan with it. And... The performance has been great. So yeah, I've been working on that. And I think that's about it. Now looking at gaming, I got
it happens.
Yeah, it happens.
Well, you were away almost a full week.
Yeah, exactly. I just haven't had much. Oh, you know what? I just realized I got the model of airbrush wrong. It's the Tritium TG. The XGI is their standard format airbrush. That's the other one. Wow, that's a dramatic pause for no apparent reason.
No, we're just sad for you. Oh, no gaming. It's okay, Paul. You're still a man.
Well, I actually was trying to hook up with Steve to play Guild Ball this week. It doesn't work out.
And you were supposed to play in the Kessel tournament this weekend too, so.
Yeah, I was supposed to be playing in the tournament. Sadly, yeah, some family stuff kept me out of
all
it.
All life.
Yeah.
Again.
Darn life. You, life.
Yep.
Why do I have to live you? Wait a minute. I take that back. I like living you.
Yeah.
Try to give me more gaming time. Please, life.
Life can be a class lady.
I don't even have anything to say to that. That's just strange. Antoine, what have you been doing for a hobby?
I'm just never sure what I can say on this podcast, so I'm just going to go with classy lady instead.
That's okay. I'm just never sure what you're going to say on this podcast, so it's all good.
Okay. On my side, just after we recorded last episode, I ended my big project at work, so I'm finding me back on track and hobbying. So I'm done with my first batch of projects. I was working, I'll go through all of them. First, I had some Micro Art Studio stacks of crates and barrels that I wanted to paint for Guild Ball to use as obstacles. So those are done. I had to work on the base for the Blightbringer Guillaume painted, the first one, the red one, tallest red. And I was able to finish that last week and gave it back to the client, Mathieu, at Gamers Vault last week, and we had a game at the same time. That base was an ice base like I did for Lilith last year, but instead of having just the flat cracked ice, the Blackburn had one of his claws coming down into the ice, so there were ice shards going in the air and more water coming out. So it was a bit different. Overall, I'm really happy with it, and I like the snow more. I toyed with the mélange.
The mix.
And I like it a lot more, so
that's cool. The way it's the progressing. Club pierced the ice and the way the ice shard just flies into the air, it's really, really cool. I think you really nailed it, and a lot of people are impressed.
Oh, good thing.
Yeah. No, it's really cool. I knew I could trust you. I believed in you.
Yeah, another combined commission. Yeah. Next up, I painted a Tag Rush, the new Risk-Up version, for another local player. However, it was a rush job to finish before the Indie Open, and I wasn't able to take a picture of it, sadly. So next time I meet him, I'll try to take one because I only have some work in progress pictures and no picture of the final, which saddens me. And lastly, I finished the Marie-Claude chibi that we started painting during Liz Beckley class in January. So I wanted to finish stuff that were on my painting table and just gathering dust. So that's what I did that's why I did the micro terrain and the chibi. And so that's it for my hobby. I'll be doing the same thing. I'm picking 3 or 4 projects at the same time that I'll be working on different way. And the first one of those is a sculpting commission for a Frostgrave Warben for a local player. It's going to be cool. A small model.
See, you also make puns. Bad puns are just like me.
Oh, but mine wasn't supposed to be a pun. Okay.
Yeah. I'm lost, apparently. I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, it's
a you'll see soon enough. All will be revealed. Stay tuned for next episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it should be done by then.
Oh, by the way, Yom, I have something for you.
Cool.
Something else?
Something big. With sharp teeth and claws.
Sharp teeth. Oh, yeah! Woo!
So, someone on Facebook asked today how many Blightburner you had painted, so that's the next one.
Yeah, that's the next one. Woohoo!
Happy belated birthday, Yom.
Mine! All mine! Oh, it would look good in pink. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus, I forgot about your color.
Oh, yes.
I forgot your color scheme was pink.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
For your Everblight. You know what? I think we should return it.
Oh, no, it's going to be awesome, man.
Yeah, probably.
It's the breast cancer awareness Blightbringer?
Yep. Oh.
Yeah.
I can't see it in my mind. Yeah.
Too bad it's not going to stay there.
Touché.
All right, sorry, Antoine, we hijacked you.
No, that's fine. So that's it for my hobby. The rest was I did have some games, and some handful of games. So it was all Guild Ball. So played 4 different games with Steve.
Sense a theme.
Union versus his Morticians. 2 of them in the past 2 weeks and 2 during in the Open Saturday. I also played 1 game with Mathieu when I gave him his Blightbringer. So another game of Guild Ball. And I also did a Guild Ball demo while we were at in the Open. So got some, while I was playing with Steve, got some people interested that had bought some model but haven't tried the game yet. So gave them a demo on the spot. All Guild Ball. More Guild Ball.
All Guild Ball all the time. I yep. Gotcha.
I was supposed to have 1 War Machine game during that time, but it didn't work.
But instead you played Guild Ball.
Yeah.
Got it.
That's it for me.
Did Steve beat you in the end? No?
No, that's still a 4 pretty major loss for Steve.
Is he going to beat anyone at some point?
Well, he's going to beat
me. Oh, yeah, he won against Mary.
That's true. He beat Mary last week. He beat Mary. And I told him he's going to beat me, and he's like, no, you've got more War Machine experience. I'm like, my War Machine experience doesn't count. So plus, you know your team, and I have no idea what I'm doing, so. Yeah. I fully expect him to trance me.
He didn't win. However, the game became a bit more challenging as we go. So the last game we had, I had more problems. He wasn't
Antoine actually had to try.
Almost.
Oh, wow. Wow, Antoine.
No, yeah. But, I mean, it's almost that, but on top of it, the dice failed me. That could have been even worse the last game. But however, his positioning is getting better, so it's getting harder to gang up on his player. So he's starting to get the grasp. Okay. I think the biggest problem Steve has right now is how to move the player on the field next to each other. And that's getting, as he goes, a lot better. So last game was a problem.
Okay,
I still won, but the challenge was getting there.
Like the end results are misguiding, that is what you're saying.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
It was still 12-2, I think. But he could have easily scored a goal. And also, one of the thing, and I already mentioned that to him, but he spread his damage instead of concentrating it.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves me the time to heal it up, and I can concentrate on his guy instead, so.
Yeah, you really have to focus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On one. Yeah. So, okay, I'm looking forward to my next game with Steve. I'll try to avenge Mary's Brewers with my Brewers.
Yep.
Come to Taba. All right, me?
Yeah,
my
you.
Turn? Okay. Abyside. So basically before the Figurines Quebec event, I was just painting. I was trying to finish my cartoon chick bust. And since she was going great and I knew that was making the deadline, I decided to put another model. There was a special price for weathering, so I decided to try salt weathering on one of my orc tanks for the game against Paul. Like, if I couldn't at least, that would be at worst gonna be one more model painted when I face Paul. It can also serve as a reference model or a cool model. I kind of say that, like
Well, it's a model that you learned on, right? So
yeah,
it's a
it's
learning
one I
model.
learned on. So I tried it, and so I tried salt withering, and I learned lots of things. Because I tried salt withering like four years ago, and I've just never touched it again. So I forgot a lot of things. So I was trying to do it again, but I was rushed, so I forgot some steps and I did some things wrong. But it gave me a good idea on how to control weathering and what to do different next. So I had lots of fun. It came out weird. I called him, I dubbed him the Rust Bucket because it's what it looks like now, just a completely rusted tank. But it was just fun. Yeah, maybe another, we'll do maybe another episode, maybe. Let's what you say, guys, on just weathering.
Yeah, that could be a totally cool topic for a
Because
show.
this it's so large. Like, I tried several things and I learned so much that I think we can talk about that for like an hour. So we'll skip that for now. And that's pretty much it. I finished those two models in time for the show, so I didn't game at that time. And even now that the show is over, I'm kind of taking a break from painting because I painted too much, so I'm not doing anything. And to change, how can you say that? To just change the air? I don't know. I'll say that. I'm
Change of pace,
A
yeah.
change of pace, yeah. I'm just playing a bit on my PC. I'm playing a new campaign of The Darkest Dungeon and trying not to get all my explorers killed. But basically just like relax, chill, PC gaming. Like, give a rest to your mind or your end. What else? I also wanted to say that today, as we record today, we published me and Antoine the tallest red, or big red. As I was calling him before
Wrongly.
he hijacked the name. My tallest. So we published tallest red, and the reaction on social media was really great, and also Tonio got a lot of good reaction for his base. I think the base got almost half the reaction. It's that cool. So we will see where it goes. It was just fun to. I've worked so hard on this one that it's cool to have a good reaction because it's never in proportion, right? Sometimes you work really hard on something and you think it looks great, but the reaction is really bad, really weak. Sometimes there's no reaction, but this one. It's being shared by a lot of people. Portal magazine have shared it. I tried to share it on Figure Painter magazine. Maybe I'll make the cut because big news in the last issue. My big black wolf, the Extreme Feral Warwolf, he made the cut into the monthly issue. So at the end of the magazine, they have like an exhibition section when they just like put. Put pictures of models that were shared on their page that they thought would look great, and the Warpwolf got a full page at the end. So I was surprised and really happy.
That's
So
very awesome promo for you.
that,
Congrats, man.
yeah, man, it's big, Figure Painter magazine. I was not expecting that. I was, yeah, I'm quite happy with myself on that. So I've shared the tallest thread. Maybe we'll try for a redo. That would be cool again, but it's fun when people react to it, and people are asking also me and Tonio how we did the painting, how we did the base. And so, it shakes things up. It just like
Well, it
makes the
helps you
community,
engage with people,
yeah,
right?
engage the community, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Small hobby and no gaming, unless you count PC gaming. And that's it for me.
Oh, PC gaming counts. It's just a different type of gaming.
Yeah. If you
All
have not
right.
tried, people, if you have not tried Darkest Dungeon on Steam, I think it's like $10. It's such a cool game. Resource management through the roof. It's really cool. It's really, really cool.
Is it kind of like Dungeon Keeper or?
No, you don't build things per se. You have a little like town to upkeep to upgrade buildings and to upgrade your adventurers, but you go on quests and you have to manage all your resources like food and gold and blah 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 and experiences. But they did another system in that game of they call it stress. So basically, stress accumulates when you go on a quest. So you also have to find a way to reduce stress when you're back in town. So that,
Masturbation.
well, you can send them to the brothel, right? So that's one of the things to reduce stress. And sometimes it's gonna cost you more than you think because they got specific tastes, your adventurers. But you can send them to the abbey to pray or meditate, or to the tavern to drink and gamble and or the brothel. And it's super fun, that saga that you have to manage, because stress doesn't go away. You have to make it go away, like this. So and also, there's no saving or reloading in this game. It's always live. So it's a single player, but it's always live. So if your guys die on a quest, they're dead. They're not.
Well,
Okay.
you can save, but you cannot go back to save point.
Well, it auto
Is that
saves like all the time. You
it?
can quit at any time, you will start at the same point. There's no action of saving.
Okay, but
Okay.
it's not live, and your guys die because you're not there
No,
and
you
you're
can
missing
pause the
food.
game. I mean, it's a still
Okay,
a single
that's what I
player,
was wondering.
but yeah.
It's not a Tamagotchi that will die in your bag.
No. If you come back to the
Yeah,
game,
exactly.
you continue where you were. But
Okay.
yeah, you have to pause it also, because if you just stay in a dungeon without pausing, yes.
So, looking at it now, it actually seems to be $30 Canadian.
Oh, then we'll just wait for the sale.
It's $28.
Yeah, I bought it at $10. Yeah, it was not more than $10.
It's got a very interesting art style too.
Yeah, it's like a comic book.
Yeah, it's all it's but it's a comic book, but it's just the art style is different, I find.
Yeah, very
It's
stylish style, comic book
a little
style.
cell shaded, and it's got a very dark art style.
Yeah, and it's that it has a lot of character. It's a bit Cthulhu-ish also. That might interest some people.
It's what? Sorry? Oh,
Cthulhu.
Cthulhu-ish. Okay.
Cthulhu-ish.
Bless you. Yes.
No, it's really worth it. It's easy to lose yourself in that game and just trying to push furthermore, but if you push too much, you're gonna start like losing adventurers and they don't come back, like I said. So once you are invested in an adventurer to train him, like equip him, and then he dies, it's like dope. Because
Yeah,
sometimes
it's
like
got.
when you finish a quest, like let's say you have to slay a necromancer. Well, you kill him, but there's still like room to explore in the dungeon. So, do you want to go for the loot that you might find, or will you risk their lives? It's always like decisions, where until which point you want to push them. So, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, the game has 13,700 reviews on Steam, and it's averaging a very positive review with an average score of 86%. So, it must be a good game.
Yes, I never played a game like that before. It's pretty unique. It's pretty fun.
Awesome. Well, on that note, why don't we take a quick break, go grab some drinks, and then come back and we can start talking about our main topics of the Figurine Québec painting show, and then do our questions. So we'll be right back, geeks. And we're back. All right, folks. So let's get into our first main topic here, which is the Figurine Québec 2016 painting show. So Antoine, what in the end, what was the attendance like? What was the show? How popular was it?
Okay, so the show had 27 is participant a term in English?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I wasn't sure that was the right term. That's a bit more than double from last year, which is cool.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And the quality of the entries was a lot higher too.
Mm-hmm.
The overall displays for all the participants that made for 123 entries. So that's a cool number. When you look at the picture, there's stuff on the table. Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's like 6 entries per person.
Yeah.
Nice, okay.
There were also some miniatures that were not counted as entries, but that were presented. And the people will bring more, but not present everything in the competition. So there was even more than that.
Yeah, just for display.
Okay, interesting. So I'm a little confused. They would bring models and put it in their display, but they weren't
presenting them. No, exactly. It was just to, like, either it was models that they didn't paint themselves, but that they thought were cool, and they wanted, like, again, to have the community share their impression and their comments and everything, or just show people stuff. It was miniatures that already won, or for any reason. Yeah. So people would just bring more and were just ready to discuss about those miniatures.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I think the show was pretty. That it's part of the mentality of the show to have people just like go from one display to the other, and the artists and the visitors to just talk between each other and discuss.
Okay. So now, as I said before, I couldn't actually attend it. So what are your impressions, guys? Like, what do you think, like, about the show, as it, how it ran, what it was like?
I'll let Guillaume go first because he went there for the full day.
Yeah,
I had other stuff to do for the event, but Guillaume stayed in that room the whole time, so he'll probably have a better overview of it.
So it was during the ND Open, okay. So it was another event, the main event was happening in another building next to it. So it was, there was already a reason to be there. So okay, the show is not self-sufficient, but if it goes well with that other event, right? Last year they were all in Quebec City, so I missed it. Now they moved to Montreal for the first year, so that was my first year attending. So I cannot really compare to last year, but I still can give, I guess, my impressions. They had a big room all for themselves. It was a really, like, really big room with more tables that were needed, so people could just go sit and at other tables to just talk, share, and just meet, you know, meet each other. Because we meet each other on the social media, right? But we never faced one another, so it was cool to really meet people, like, in person, shake hands break that barrier. So it was a pretty relaxed ambience. Like I said, they had lots of plays. The concept is an open format, so basically you are competing only against yourself. There's no categories, there's no podiums. You just compete against yourself. There were still three prizes to go get. There was the best of show amongst all 123 entries. There was Prix de la Nouvelle France, which is a team prize, something that is related to the story of Nouvelle France, so Quebec, Canada, but all the history, like from a couple hundred years ago to colonization to modern day. So, and the last prize was best specific prize was best weathering. It was a sponsor prize from Secret Weapon Miniature, and there were many other prizes that were part of a raffle. So basically, there were those three prizes, and after that, you just bought ticket and you were on level ground with everybody else. It was just lady luck deciding in the end. So, and the prizes were cool. Like it was a like resin and wooden planes, like a whole mini tear paint set with a SOTAR 2020. So there were a lot of prizes. So
Yeah, we contributed that as well. We had a prize in there.
you give a greater demon the corn bloodthirster.
The Bloodthirster, yep.
So I thought that they had a lot of attendance prize, and I'm a fan of that. So I think that they found a way to get a lot of sponsors for their first year, because it was not named that. It was the first year that they had that name. So they redid like the old branding of the show and of the web page and everything. So I thought that for something that is it's just starting, they already have a good reputation. With Mathieu Fontaine at the helm, he already has it's a big name out there. He has a lot of connections already. So
Well,
it's
he's a huge name in the community, right?
he has an open like a free pass. In the, like people know him, so like it's easier
I
to make
think
connection.
I think he's one of the people that put kind of like miniature painting in North America on the map, right? He's kind of an icon in North America from his Golden Demon days. And I think he was that first generation of North American miniature painters that had such a
Level.
high standard. Yeah.
Yes. So apparently his name still rings a bell in for a lot of people. So I thought the concept is pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And then, like I said, you compete against yourself. So everybody will leave with a like a gold or silver or bronze or like participation award. I will encourage people to go check the Facebook page. Because there's a web page, but on the Facebook page there's a lot of things happening. All the news are there, all the pictures are there. The pictures of the event, pictures of the models. So it's Figurines Québec.
Yeah, and a
Sounds
big
great for any
difference,
French.
the same pictures are on the websites, but they don't have captions. So on Facebook, you'll have the name of the painter, the name of the model, and the company. But on the website, you don't have that information in the gallery. So Facebook is a better place to go for the pictures.
I always forget that not everyone is using Facebook, but it's just easier to drop a like or drop a comment on someone's picture, on a mini's picture, so their artist will see it and they can answer you and everything. So that's why I always recommend Facebook first. I guess I can talk about my own experience. That's pretty much it about the show. We had the full day. It was only on one day, on the Saturday. But it's starting from 9 to I think 5 or 6 o'clock.
That's
So
a long day.
yeah, well, judging took a long time because there was a lot of things to look at. But that's a long day for a competition. But people that's is something a little pet peeve I had a problem with, but I mean It would have been better if they would have something, people had something to do. But it's not easy to just get people say, hey, anyone want to do a workshop or a Q&A or, but people, they don't volunteer, right? So it was a lacking, but at the same time, you cannot expect people to just like volunteer for such a thing.
Well, it's still early days too, right? So I
Yeah.
assume as time goes on.
But if there were classes or the demos or like workshop or Q&As, that would be even better. Like
Well,
to
like
keep
you see more
people
like an
entertained.
Adepticon or something, right? Where the
Yeah.
painting contest is going on, but
People.
there's other stuff, other activities to keep people busy.
So, but I don't know because I was judging, so I didn't see the afternoon pass by. All right. So in my experience, the way it worked, every attendee they presented a display of their work. Okay, there was no maximum number of entries. You can present one or 20 if you wanted. I presented seven. The seven I presented were the cartoon chick bust that you will soon see on my Facebook page. The zombie bust, the f extreme feral werewolf, the black wolf. My own Chibi Marie Claude, Marcosius, because I always go with my buddy Marcosius. Nerda, the faceless mother from Raging Heroes, that the monochrome piece that I did, and Rust Bucket, my super extremely weathered orc tank. And the way the what happens in the judges, there were four judges. They look at each display and they will select one mini out one model out of all of this, and that will be the model that will be judged later on. And after that, they split and they each go to see each of those minis, like the 27 minis, and they give it a ranking. It goes from like participation, bronze, silver, and gold. Gold being in this event really hard to get. Out of 27 participants, two people got the gold. After that, it was roughly 50-50 between bronze and silver. That's a decision from Mathieu Fontaine. He wants. I can understand that he wants a premier event. Like, the event must not be a joke where it's too easy to get a high ranking because then it's worthless, right? But at the same
Yeah.
time, it means that to get a gold, it's really, really hard. I mean, it has to be flawless to get a gold. Really flawless to like to Matthew's level. It has to be to Matthew's level to get a gold. Matthew asked me to join the judges as like the apprentice judge for this year. Last year it was our buddy Faust who was apprentice judge. This year he was a main judge, so Matthew wants me for the next editions to join the judging team. But I was just there like as an observer, right?
You're shadowing the judges. Yeah.
Yeah, I was listening to and watching them, like just what they say, how they approach things, what they discuss, how they select a model, what they judge, blah, 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 blah. So just how they do it, basically get a feel. And I was also the breaker,
Tiebreaker.
tiebreaker. If they couldn't agree on something, I was a tiebreaker. So I followed them all afternoon. It took all afternoon to select those 27 pieces out of the 123 entries and then to judge them. So yeah, pretty cool going from and they discuss everything. The one thing about the judging method that I was not a big fan of. But I mean, it's open to change. Maybe Matthew's always open to adjust the system. They will select a miniature based on the artistic value or like the artistic direction that you were taking. like the style, how it will impact the person watching the piece. Like if you were looking at the piece, how it will impact you, like the style that you choose. All right, so that it's the miniature with the most like oomph, like the something that gets your attention, the little touches, the something special that you put on it. And but when they were judging it after that, they were only judging it on the technical aspect, like the mastery of techniques. So it's like a like two systems combined into one. I don't know if
Okay.
other competitions do that. I think it's just weird. I mean, select. I mean, just keep on the same theme. I mean, select it based on mastery on tech of techniques, and then judge it based on mastery of techniques.
I see what you're saying. So basically, they would look at your collection and say, "Oh, this model is the one that gives the most artistic impression, but it may not necessarily be the best painted." And then they would judge that model on its painting quality.
Yeah. Like for example, in my display, they selected the cartoon chick bust, but two of the judges, they told me that both the feral werewolf and Marie-Claude de Chibi were better painted,
More technically better.
technically better painted, but one of the judge like didn't like Chibi style, so they didn't select that because they didn't like the style, but they. Those two guys, they told me that they were those two pieces were technically better, but then they choose altogether, the judges, a piece that was to a lower level of technical abilities, but then they judge the technical ability. So it's like, okay, but why didn't you just choose the wolf or the shibi? Like, choose the best piece if you're gonna judge on the mastery of techniques. It's still
That
today, it
does seem
doesn't make,
strange.
yeah, it
That
doesn't
does seem
ring
strange.
true right in my head. Seems weird. They should just keep one system. Like I lost a lot of points because one of the judges didn't like the cartoon style. But that was when judging. You're supposed to just discuss that in the first step, in the selection step, not in the judging step. Like at this point, judge. I mean, if you select it because it's a cartoon, you have to judge it because it's a cartoon. Don't like make it lose point because it looks like a cartoon. That's why you selected it in the first place. See, it's like it in my it doesn't compute in my it, something's not right.
That is strange. I grant you that. That's some strange choices made there.
Anyway, so when they came up to my own display, because judges were not selecting or judging from their own display, obviously. So even as an apprentice, I will not select my own model or
Yeah, of course.
judging my own model. But I will judge like when we came to Faust's display. Faust was not selecting or judging. I will then jump in as official judge and will rate the mini. And my the note that I will give him will count.
Right. Which makes
So
sense.
yeah. So Faust and mine were the two displays when the judges wasted the more time. Just deciding which model. I'm pretty happy because aside from Rust Bucket, they really looked at the six entries and were debating for like 10 minutes, like arguing between themselves because they all came from different background. So they were really debating, looking closely at each of the six models and like debating and bringing on points. And I didn't move away, right? I just shut up. I was just like listening and not saying anything
Well, it's
because
always interesting to hear what people think of your work,
yeah
right?
exactly and because I mean there's no varnishes at this point how can you say
Yeah,
that
and
there's
also it helps you understand their thought process, right?
yeah exactly and they talk like you're not there so they don't put gloves they don't go easy on you because they're not talking to you so I had like the hour of the day can you say that. I had like a precise like opinion and a real opinion of each of the four judges on my pieces, and that was a good that was good stuff to hear.
So which judge was anti-chibi?
Jean didn't like that style.
All right.
And
I was just curious.
Tom didn't like the cartoon style.
Yeah.
On the contrary, Faust liked the cartoon style. Sam liked the chibi style. So they all came from Mathieu
Yeah,
selected those
different.
people because they all came from a very different background.
That's interesting, eh?
Yeah, so you get a round table of every kind of opinions and background, and I like this, I don't like this, I have my experience with this, I don't have experience with that. So those four judges combine with their powers combine, but together they made a good team, and it was really cool to have that feedback when they were discussing which piece to use. But after that, I joined like I said the judging, but my notes didn't count. But still, I compared them because then you all bring your notes to Mathieu, who compile them and make an average, and the average will determine which prize you get: silver, bronze, or gold. But I was comparing my notes, the rates that I gave to everyone, to those averages. And out of 27, only 3 of them were different. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'm a good fit for that judging team. So
yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
if your scores lined up with theirs, I mean,
pretty spot on. Pretty
means they're on the same page. Yeah.
Interesting. Yep. And that took the whole afternoon. Like I said, after that, they gave each people a prize, and they did the raffle, and that was it. Something that happened, well, to finish that, because they give the prizes, Faust, our friend Faust, he won both Best of Show and Prix de la Nouvelle France. So Best of Show for two different models. Best of Show was a bust of a tribe chief, like it's a gorilla. It was painted in a Planet of the Apes style. It was pretty cool.
Okay, I didn't realize that was his piece. Okay.
Yeah. And Prix de Nouvelle France was a Mohawk, Mohawk warrior, an Iroquois, from the Iroquois tribe. So, but it's funny because it was the only model that fit the team, so he won by default. But again, it was a great paint job because he gave itself everything. He had a full week to work on it, because. Yeah, he didn't know that nobody else would bring anything, so he gave it his everything, and the models looks amazing, but it was just funny to win by default with such a model. And that's yes, funny. The best withering easily escaped Rust Bucket with no surprises there, but it's okay. I mean, when I saw a tall warrior getting out of his crisis suit to look at something, and there was a bit of withering on the ground, but the model itself, the crisis suit itself, had great withering on it.
That was the Ghost Heel crisis suit, right?
Yes, exactly.
Large crisis suits. Yeah.
Good stuff. It's another guy named Guillaume.
Must be something about the name.
Yeah, it must be something about the name, man. Yeah, great job from Guillaume Cavard on this. To talk about Rust Bucket again, when I said that during the day people were encouraged to exchange and discuss, people talked to me about Rust Bucket because they wanted to learn. So to both Faust and I think his name was Danik, he wanted to learn how to do withering because he never did it. So even if I lost control of my withering on it, I still learned how to control it. I got a good number of tips that I could give him, how I did it, what I did, what I should have done differently, what I shouldn't have done at all. So I gave him a lot of tips to try, and what kind of product to use, what are the steps, and what kind of salt, or because it was salt withering. So it was one of the good things about that event, that was easy to just exchange tips. Another thing, my macros, yes, okay, on his base, there's a gust of wind blowing up leaves, right? So the visual effect It's pretty cool because the leaves are really like flung in the wind, but the way it's done, I use strand of my own hair to
Yeah, because
like
you need
just
something with a
one
tensile
strand of
strength to hold up the leaves,
yeah exactly
but that wouldn't appear visible.
so when you look at the model you don't see the air, you just see like the leaves in floating, so you have to really bring it like really close to see the strand of air. Oh, okay, that's how he did it. But from far away, or in the picture, you don't see the air at all. You just see like the leaves blowing. Because during the week before the event, I had it more like I presented that model in Adepticon at the Crystal Brush. There was one leaf on that using that technique. But now I put like there's like four more leaves. So, and some are higher also, so you really see like the movement of the wind. So it was cool to be able to share that tips with people because nobody knew. Unless people was really even if the displays were put on tables at chest level, and so people they had easy access to models. There were no glasses or anything. They were just on tables. People could just look at them up from every angle, but people were not touching models. So it was still really respectful from every attendees. They would just look without touching. So only the judges at the end could take models by the bases and look at them. But still, since people could not touch it, and so they were not getting so close, they couldn't figure out how I did it. So
Nice.
it was cool to just like give the tip to everybody. Also, I got really good feedback during the event, both from some last year attendees and judges, and even Mathieu himself. And to get compliment from Mathieu Fontaine, it's not an easy task. But they all told me that they were surprised and amazed at how I got. That are my evolution in a year. So that's really encouraging. Mathieu was happy with how I did my two busts, and suggested and he hoped that I would do more busts in the future. Because he thought that I did a great job.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
Yeah.
Compliments from someone like Mr. Fontaine are always very cool.
Yeah. They're rare and cool. Because for people who don't know him, he's a good guy, but he's really like cynical, always sarcastic. So
That's kind of the impression I get.
yeah, so some people think that he's not such a great guy, but he's okay. It's just that it's a way of doing things and talking to people. So when he gives you like a compliment, it's kind of surprising. Like when you give me a compliment, it's like, okay, what's the catch?
Oh, come on. Jeez.
Oh, little Paul Fontaine.
Am I really that horrible a friend? God.
Only too young.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, only to me. I'm talking about my own experience here, okay?
Okay. That's true. I'm a bit of a jerk to you, I admit. It's only because it's fun. Antonio, what about you? What were your takeaways from the competition on the weekend?
I wasn't there a lot compared to Yom. I entered my piece, left to do other stuff for the tournaments, came back in the afternoon and had my first Guild Ball game and demos there with the other painters. So overall, I saw the pieces, I saw the entries. And I was there during the raffle, but I was not even there during the main prize nominations. So overall, I'm happy to have entered because the more people that participate, the more entries there are on the table and the better the show looks. But I'm also happy with the results. My display got a silver.
Very nice.
I didn't expect that. I was aiming for a low bronze.
I forgot to say I got a silver. I forgot to say the level I got for my carton jig. Okay, so I got a silver too. So congrats, Antoine. We moved on from last year. Handshake, yeah, fist bump. But it was not your old display, it was your Mandragora.
Yeah, I know, but...
Okay.
The Mandragora was one silver?
Yeah, yeah. That's my gripe. I don't understand that.
No, I do.
Because I'm happy with it, but I, as Yom mentioned, they picked a model that was visually the more appealing. And I can see that because the model is interesting to look at. It's really colorful. But after that, in the technical level, the Lilith was a far better piece, I think.
Not according to the panel.
No? Okay. No.
They were pretty much on par because some things were better on Lilith, but mm-hmm. some things were lacking on Lilith, that the Mandragora was more like balanced.
Interesting, okay.
Yeah, the other Lilith had more highs and lows than the Mandragora. Mandragora was more on the same level.
Okay. Yeah, so I wasn't there, so I couldn't talk with all the judges. So I had some chat with David after the show, and now Yom is providing some more information. But still, I personally, I don't see it, but I'm happy still. That silver is better than the bronze from last year. Anyways, good. I wasn't able to paint anything special, especially for the event. I wanted to. I have a couple of pieces that I'll be working on in the next few months. More display pieces instead of just gaming pieces, but the work schedule didn't let me put time on those, and I only had time for the commissions, sadly. I hope that next year I have real display pieces that I can enter with the aim of a painting contest or a painting show like this one.
And I'll be happy to judge you.
What else is new, Yom? What else is new?
I don't judge Antoine.
Always judging us.
No, not Antoine.
Just me. Yom. Okay, thanks.
Yep. And Steve.
Yom mentioned that people didn't touch the molds. I really like the height of the table. That made it really easy to look at the stuff without always being bent over.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great thing that they did with jacking the table up.
Yeah, they put legs on each leg of the table. Like they put an extension.
Yeah, they were regular round table for banquets and stuff like that. But they added like PVC piping under each leg to jack the table about a feet and a half higher, and that made it a lot easier to look at the stuff.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yes.
See, looking at the pictures, I just thought there were maybe, like the type of tables you'd have at a reception where they're only serving finger food.
Mm-hmm.
Usually there's small tables that are spread around the room, and they're quite high. You're standing while eating, so yeah. They don't have like mm-hmm. low tables. So I assume that's what they were in the pictures.
It came out to about the same height. However, those the table there are the big like 6 to 8 people tables.
Okay. Yeah, so a lot bigger.
Yeah, that was really cool because that made looking at the pieces a lot easier. And you didn't have to bend over to be able to see the detail or kneel down on the floor. And
yeah, and they were all in the middle of the room also. There was like one row of table.
Mm-hmm.
So since they were big tables, some people were putting their models on one side and people on the other side. So you can walk around like the whole line of table, seeing like a circuit, like walking all around. And when you get to the other side, you could see the back side from each of the pieces also. That the pieces that you looked on the first side. So it was easy to see all around the miniature without even touching it.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, so the setup was great. You wanted proximity. Like people had respect for the pieces, they didn't touch anything, but he wanted proximity. He didn't want like a plexiglass or something that would keep people away.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you want people to be able to interact more with the models. And having a plexiglass. Like, if you look at display cases like at Crystal Brush or whatever, I mean, obviously they're there for a reason and it makes perfect sense. And I'm not knocking that choice. But it does change things because you're limited to your viewing angle. And because the models are generally, like the Crystal Brush, it's in a white display case. Right, so it's always a white background. There's other models in close proximity, so you have blocked views to the sides, and no idea what the back looks like. So yeah, it can make it kind of challenging
Yeah,
when
and
you're
if
looking
you
at a model.
found the artist, the artist would take the mini and like put it in your hand so you can look it really closely and all around it, and that's pretty much. Also, when the judges, when they were checking the pieces, they would like take a miniature and move in the room for a different light, just to see how the paint job reacted to different lighting. And also, some of the table had white cloth on it. Other
Yeah,
had
so some are white and some are black.
some were black. So they will move from one background to the other. Like they will move in the room to check what the mini looked like on a white background or a black background. They did a really thorough job.
That's very cool. And hopefully next year, we get another doubling of attendees. That would be really cool. Keep it growing.
It will take 6 hours to judge.
Well, then maybe you need two teams of judges, right? That's what other shows do. I know at ReaperCon, when I attended it last year, I think there were something like 500 entries. Yeah, so they had teams of judges. Like three teams, I think, or four teams even, going through to decide stuff, because otherwise it was just too much. All right. We'll have to see what next year brings. All right. I think unless there's anything you guys want to add, I think we've pretty much wrapped up this topic.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Good show in the end, good show. I recommend for people to join next year.
Awesome. All right. So why don't we take a quick break and then come back and tackle that pile of questions we got. So we'll be right back, geeks. Back. All right, so let's dive into the mailbag here and see what we got this week. So first up from Brian, I'm assuming the at Der Brian I'm seeing in the notes is Twitter handle.
Yes, it is.
Awesome. Okay, so his question: do you think there are too many miniature game companies, too many miniatures slash companies, and do you think there'll be a crash? Who disappears first? You know what? I'm going to talk first because I heard you opening up his mouth to say something, and I'm going to cut him off. Because I'm a jerk. We discussed that last segment. So, I think we've hit that critical mass of miniature games and companies. And I think what's going to happen is we're not going to see a crash where all the miniature companies are just going to go under. I think what we'll see, though, is that it's going to become very, very tough for companies to stay in the market. So you'll see new people coming in, and I think you'll see these people leaving the market almost as quickly as they arrived. I think the mainstays who are well developed will stick around, and I think we will still see some new companies develop into mainstays, but I think we're going to see a lot of cycling at the same time. I don't expect GW to go anywhere anytime soon. I don't expect Privateer Press to go anywhere anytime soon. I think Weird Miniatures is around for quite a bit still, because Malifaux is drawing a lot of people in certain areas. It's maybe not doing well here, but I know it's doing well.
Yep.
Corvus Belli, the same thing. I don't think they're going anywhere. But we've already started seeing people like Wild West Exodus, where they kind of make a splash, and then they kind of not really sure what they're doing. They're, you know, they're coming out with new editions of the rules. They're changing stuff. The models are gorgeous. The game has a lot of neat elements. The setting is awesome. They've got some good fluff, some good novels. But it's just not gaining the traction we expected. So, you know, I think you'll see a lot of good companies or people with good ideas come and go.
Yeah, I was going to say like that we are in the golden age. But you said critical mass, and I think it's a better way of saying it. There's a lot of games out there. It's crazy when you think about it. There's so much choice. When you think when we started, it was pretty much just Games Workshop.
Yeah.
when Privateer Press arrived, it was like, ooh, that new company. But now there are so many games.
Jump in here for a second. Like, I think Steamforged, for example, is a good example of a company that is a newcomer, but will have life to it. I think Guild Ball is going to be here to stay. I really do.
That's my opinion, too.
So, and I think you're just going to see fewer of these companies able to hang on.
Yep.
Because there's only so many games we can afford. And if you have a choice between two games and one plays better, has models that are just as nice, you know, maybe it's a better price point or better value in your eyes, why would you play the other game?
Yeah, and they're starting to have similar games out there. That's the thing. Like, new companies, they have to do something really new and eye-catchy. But at some point, and people have just so much money to spend, right? So, yeah, I think some will tank. Some maybe will be bought by others. But, yeah, I'm sure we're going to see, like, a decline in the number of games in the coming years.
And I don't even think it's necessarily going to be the best games that stick around, right? You know, I think you're going to see people like Warlord who manufactures for a lot of people, not just their own lines, and their historicals do well, and I think their Bolt Action line is doing very well for them. But Beyond the Gate of Antares, which from all I've heard has some pretty nice models and an excellent rule set, I don't know how long it's going to last in this market, right?
Is it even lasting?
I don't know. I know they've released a lot more stuff for it, so presumably it should pick up a little bit because people are going to have more options and they're fleshing out the game more. But I don't know long term if it's going to be able to, hang in there.
And you see, like, more and more companies, they use like Kickstarter and. Backers are becoming like more and more like
jaded.
Yeah, jaded, and like they ask for a lot now. They expect the world. I mean, some Kickstarter will just start to tank because people will ask for too much stuff for less and less and less. So yeah, I think that we have critical mass. And that the smaller players will start to disappear in the coming years. But like you said, the four new name, they're not going anywhere.
What do you think, Antoine?
I don't think there's too many. Especially on the non-gaming miniature company side. So all the boutique stuff for painters. Those don't need to have the same output. Because most of the time they don't have to go to plastic. And there's more and more iron painter and display painter as it goes. So I don't think that's a problem. On the gaming side, though, where they do all the costs that are involved with producing plastic, and if one game doesn't work, that's a huge cost that they have to cover. And if that doesn't work out, those companies are in danger. So I think on the gaming side, you might see more crash. Like you mentioned, Wild West does this, that didn't take as well. However, they went from Kickstarter, so they had the money first. It might just not have the longevity some other games have. However, on the painting side, like really display miniatures, I don't see them going away. Because more diversity is better. So.
No, I agree. Display display models are a different bag of tricks.
And I'm to say that companies shouldn't come out with new games or new miniature when I'm working on Maisonion and planning to have them out in the world sometime in the near future. So,
fair enough. All right. Next question from David Hafner at Polar Bear Adept on Twitter. What do you think of Weird's policy of not painting their models for the boxes and just showing renders? I really dislike it, but my friends who love Weird think it's fine. And they don't paint, so people can figure out their own schemes. I don't buy it myself. I'd be more willing to buy if I could actually see the details on the model instead of just a gray blob.
That last part was David, by the way, people. That was still part of the question. You said it like it was your opinion.
Oh, Paul. Oh, sorry. Well, I actually agree with it. I think that renders on the box don't do any justice to the models.
Yeah.
Renders lie also, right? We've all been burned. We mentioned Kickstarter before. Mm-hmm. How many times have we backed Kickstarter based off a render of a model and what we got was not what we thought we were getting?
Yeah. I wouldn't mind if we had a picture of a cast instead of the render. Even if it's unpainted, if you at least see what the mini will really look like, that's fine.
Well, I still think that renders gives a better impression than a picture of a cast. I mean, if it's metal, you don't see anything.
Oh, no, I agree with you. It depends on the metal.
But, yeah, otherwise I agree with you. But maybe if they could add both, I mean, like a small, like, render version or a cast picture version, but mainly, like, show it painted. I think it adds inspiration, but also, like, a good idea of what it really looks like or could look like. I'm not either a big fan of just the render.
I mean, that was one of my biggest problems with Guild Ball when I was trying to figure out what I was going to buy was, all they had on their website was renders. So I'm like, I don't want renders. I want to see what the actual models look like.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, same thing. I had to Google search images just to have a better idea of the different themes.
I understand why Weird does it, because they produce so much and they probably don't have enough painters on hand to paint the models before they come out.
Possibly. Well,
I think they only have one staff painter right now.
Yeah, so...
I can't remember his name. Curtis. I met the young man at Adepticon.
Curtis,
yes. Super nice guy. Yes. Went for dinner with him. He's a friend of Liz Beckley's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but still, he's a single man.
Yeah, he's one guy, right? And he also manages Iron Painter and like a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah,
so.
And when you look at earlier this week, we had a release of all the May releases, and it was
they released 30 models at a time.
Yeah, something like that, just for a single month. So that's crazy. A single guy cannot keep up with that.
No, I agree.
So I understand why. I don't like it, but I understand why they do it.
Yeah, in the case of Weird, I get that. In the case of other companies, I don't really understand. Anyway. So, I think that pretty much covers it. David had a second question. And this is going to be a complex one to read, so I'll probably mangle it, but here we go. How do you recognize bias in yourself or others for certain games or companies? His example is, my friend hates Privateer Press because they changed Kaya 1 in Mark 2, and he hasn't forgiven them. He constantly badmouths them for the smallest nitpick. Always says they're going out of business whenever they have sales, or that they are shady. But then he says that Weird is the best and never does anything wrong. He doesn't acknowledge his own bias. He just says he's right. It's very annoying. Have you ever dealt with this before or had someone point out your own bias before? I'm just trying to be civil and rational with him.
Tough question.
Yeah. let's get Yom talking about Age of Sigmar. We'll give you an example.
How do you recognize if bias in yourself? Well, I know I have a bias for Privateer Press. I recognize it. I have one. But I still try to keep an open mind. But I have met people who are really close-minded, and I don't know what to say. You try to, I know what it means. You try to talk to them, like have a, like you said, a rational portrait or like a idea of like what they do right and wrong, and but they are just closed and they just like insulting the company, or which is pointless. Or insulting the players, which is like, I don't know, is disrespectful and pointless also. Like, I'm thinking of some people that we know personally, but I think in our this little group we have, and I include Steve, our missing co-host, that we know the bias that we have, and we kid ourselves, and we take friendly stab at each other. There's jabs at each other, but we don't take things seriously. Yeah. Like, I'm open-minded. Like, when Games Workshop make a great model, I'm able to say, it's a great model. Like, yeah, the new kit that they released, the Silver Tower, some great models in there. Some great models. Doesn't change the fact that the Sigmarit, they look like shit. Yeah. Next.
Tony, you were about to say something there. What?
The only thing I can say, and that's not something he can say to his friend, but just some people need to grow up. We're not in kindergarten or in the playground, and I'm right and you're wrong. Anybody can ask it.
All we're all playing with toys.
Yeah, it's toys. And you don't like something? Well, at least recognize that there's your reason for it. So. It doesn't help David in that case, but I think it's just maturity in people and how they can arguments. So maybe he just has a friend that's a bit less mature than he would like. Yeah,
that's my take also. It's just weird. When I showed my girlfriend like the reaction of people, it was worse. It's still bad, but I think it was worse before. Like when Privateer Press was trying to push and they started having like... articles on their products on the like Battle of Lost Souls, the comments, man, there were so much hate. Yeah, people were just like, it's not a site for this, it's only Game Workshop, blah, blah. And they were really hating on anything people would say positive. It's like, as she was looking at that, like, how can you be, like Antoine said, so immature? I mean, people, they already like split, like, we are geeks, like you said, Paul. We all play with Bonhomme, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean we're already like parias for the rest of the society because we play grown men playing with toys. So why do we have in between our little group of geeks like split between like you play cards, I play video games, you play tabletop, and then tabletop. Oh, I'm a fan of Games Workshop, you're a fan of Privateer Press, and then Games Workshop. I like 40K, I like Age of Sigmar, and then 40K. I like Space Marine, you're an asshole because you like steering. It's like, quit at some point, just man, let it go, grow up. Come on, like what's the point of just trying to pick on each other? I mean, yeah, like you said.
We need to start recording all in the same room so we can trank Yom when he goes on these rampages.
Tase me. Shut up, Yom.
Pull out the blowgun with the trank darts. No, but it's true. It's absolutely true.
On mine also.
And I find... I almost giggled when I was reading the part about he said that Weird never makes mistakes. I seem to recall Weird launching a new edition of the game and having like only half the cards out for models for the first like 6 months. Oh. I know there was a big gap there where you only had like half of the updated cards for the models that were released.
Mm-hmm.
So people were really pissed because they couldn't play with their stuff. So every company goes through periods where they have growing pains and troubles. There's nothing perfect. And you know what? If a game's not for you, it doesn't mean it's not for someone else.
Absolutely. I think we're lucky in that we're all in our group, we're all polygamers. we play a multitude of games. So even if we have some bias for some companies, we all recognize that there are so many different companies and we play so many games ourselves that one game cannot be that crap. And if it is, it just won't sell and will go away. So if you, somebody likes something, that's fine. We don't have to play all the same games. Even in our group, looks, only Guillaume plays Infinity. And we tease him about it, but they make fantastic models and they have a solid rule set which just doesn't jive with me, but I can see its merits.
Yeah, it's not your things, and I know it, that it's just like friendly jabs that you just, probably you just want to tease because you know that I like the game, that's all.
No, I really hate that rule book, though. Like, that's not really about you, Yom, sorry.
I was giving you a way out, Paul.
But I do love their models. Hey, I don't think any less of you because you like their game. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, so. You're allowed to be wrong. Okay, so next question. Leonard, who is a buddy of ours from Gamers Vault, asks us, what was the model that gave you the most trouble? Either from being impossible to build correctly, or a frustrating painting experience, or just felt like a total disappointment on the table. His example is the Retribution model Imperatus, which still falls apart despite all his efforts to pin the damn legs. See, that's a tough one. I've assembled a lot of models.
Yes.
And I'm such a crappy player at most games that they all kind of point disappointment on the table. You know, from an assembly standpoint, I'm trying to think of what models have the most fiddly bits.
Recently, I know mine. That was the Metal Dead Jack from Predator Press. That model took me longer to assemble and clean up than the painting job did.
There's a lot of metal jacks from Privateer Press over the years, though, that were all terrible.
Yeah, and that one is full of spike, but they don't have good connection points. So I had to pin every spike on the model. And the kit was like 35 pieces or something like that.
Just like the chains on the Mountain King also are annoying. I'm trying to think. The Archangel was kind of a pain in the ass. Because of the wings, my god! Like the model has some gaps. It's problematic, but the wings are really problematic.
Yeah, it has some big gaps. I was, when I worked on that one, I did ridiculous. Yeah, I don't know if any particular model stands out.
But see something. Sometimes you just don't see it comes like a. When I assembled my Nemo 2, my Warcaster for Signar, the way that the shoulders are made and with the head, it's like that section is three different pieces. Like one is the head, and then you have like electric coils on each side. But the cavity, the hole in the model is really big because under each of those pieces there's like a big block of metal, and you're supposed to just line the three pieces together in that hole, but like the space was too tight, they wouldn't fit, and then they wouldn't fit like correctly, and in the end, like I had gaps, and it's like the amount of time I spent just on those three really small pieces. With all the models I assembled, man, this guy with his head and shoulders, man, it was such problematic.
I mean. You know, now that you're talking, I'm thinking Avatar of Menoth, the tabards that hang off his shoulders. I don't know how many times I tried to attach those things and they kept falling off, no matter what I did. Pin them, green stuffed, glue, like JB Weld, it didn't matter. I always found a way to break those things off. That's why I'm tempted now that there's a new plastic one to buy one, even though, or resin one, even though I don't play my Menoth ever.
Back in the days, Space Marines, if you didn't have a way to really place the one holding the bolter guns, Like
The
it was a
two
good,
undead bolters.
yeah, it was a good thing that they had big shoulder pads.
All the heavy weapons teams. You're right; those yeah. arms never lined up.
They never lined up. So okay, but it's a good thing I have a shoulder
pad. A giant shoulder pad. Yeah, big ball of green stuff, and then that's true. I'd forgotten about that.
Paul, I have an answer for your future. Your Vaitirs.
Oh yeah. Those little tiny wings. I mean, I could have used my Selena Rayfall and the Nis Hunters, except I had Chris from Gamers Vault assemble those for me. Because I looked at that, and it gave me flashbacks to my bladed archers and bladed swordsmen. I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing it. Nope. Subcontract.
And do you have anything that comes to your mind for the disappointment on the table part? I think we don't play enough.
Well, there's been a lot of disappointing things on the table. Like I said, I roll so badly all the time. I never know if it's my rolling or the mechanics of the model.
Your old Grubzone Commander arm.
Oh, yeah. No, that's only against you, though.
Okay.
Like everyone else, it seems much more balanced, but against your resistance, I just get hosed. There's been a lot of War Machine, the Kador models just didn't do it. Like Man of War Shock Troopers.
Yeah.
Man of War Shock Troopers in Mark II. Grey Lord Turnian. I thought those would be good too. Those sucked.
No, just too many models that just sucked.
Yeah, there's two Mark II War Machine. There's a lot of models that just suck horribly. I'm a sucker for, oh, this model looks good. Or, Dragoon, Man of War Dragoon, which is still good in Mark II, but he's nowhere near as good as he was in Mark I.
Well,
that's for sure.
Yeah, sure, but he was a bit too good in Mark I.
Well, I was.
He was a real
terror. Playing Kador or not.
Exactly. If you were playing Kador, exactly. He was really good. So if you think he was good because you played Kador, everybody else thought it was too good.
I mean, I used to like having my
Flying Dragoon.
My Dragoon being thrown by a jack. Throw him 4 or 5 inches, whatever it was, and then have him charge. And then Flying Steel, get a 3, and do like 3 Weapon Master attacks on something and explode it.
No, it was crazy.
Yes, he was an amazing model. He's still good. He's still very good, but he's not as good as he was.
But
oh, you know what? Conquest was disappointing. Because, I've got this giant colossal with all kinds of guns, and unless I've got signs importance on him or something, he's never hitting anything ever. It's just not happening.
My game wise, my biggest disappointment has to be Maxwell Finn. Right, Daniel? Maxwell Finn, the solo from Signar.
Yeah,
the guy
the
has
gunner.
So many rules, so many good stuff he can do, but they're all special actions. He can only do one.
Yep.
Each turn.
Didn't you have the same problem in Mark I with him?
He was still bad in Mark I. But
I think he's getting fixed.
I hope he's getting fixed. I always like yelling his name, but it never did. And I sold all my trenchers except this guy. Because he's Maxwell Finn. I just like the models, but it never does anything. Because you have to choose, and it's all like small things that like all together looks good, but since you can only do one, it's always like disappointing and let down, and it costed too much. And no, maybe they will fix him, but Mark II and Mark I, total disappointment. Each game he was a disappointment. Each game.
All right. Anything else anyone would like to add to that question?
Hi, Leonard. Nope. No, nothing.
Okay. All right. Next from our standard questionnaire, Mike DeSpieler. Have you ever played co-op tabletop games? And what was your opinion of how the game played and the game's AI? Do you have any you'd recommend?
Gears of War.
Yeah, I think that's probably not the only one, but that's one of the only ones. I've been playing with Guillaume and Papa Guillaume. Gears of War based on the video game.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of any other board games that have an AI system for the game itself. I mean, I know there's others. I just can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Yep.
Isn't there a version of like Super Dungeon that has an AI?
Yes. Yes, never that. Tried it. Myth by Mikacon Game, Telfeller.
Oh yes, of course. That's right.
Not Telfeller's, but Mice and Mystics.
Mice and Mystics. Yep.
Yeah. Any cooperative play games with miniatures always have an AI of some kind.
Well, no, because default Super Dungeon, the AI is another player who's playing the console.
Yeah, but
right?
that's not a co-op game then.
Well, the rest of the people are co-op.
It's a versus game.
Yeah.
Or a team game with versus. It's not the same thing.
It's a hybrid.
Yeah. Like Descent. Descent is the same thing. So there's a one player versus mini. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I played Myth. And it was interesting. We had fun. We're playing at Gen Con. It was before it was released. Just before the Kickstarter went live, I think, or just after the Kickstarter went live. And it was a garbled mess because we couldn't understand what was going on. The rules weren't particularly clear, and the people explaining the rules were not particularly clear. So it's hard to judge a game based on that.
Yeah, the only time I tried Myth was a disaster at TempleCon.
Yeah, I was with you, I think.
Yeah.
Listen, it was a weird experience.
So the game is made to have some kind of scenarios and everything, and they do a demo using their Slaughterfield special scenario where there's no scenario and you just need to kill waves of stuff. So it doesn't work. It was a big mess. So I haven't tried the game back after that. It's supposed to be cool, but never got back on the table. And I don't think it was the AI or the game itself. In that case, it was more how the demo was run.
The demo team?
Yeah.
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 That happens often.
Mm-hmm.
We played, in the ones we really played, there's, Guillaume mentioned Gears of War. We do place it once in a while, maybe a game a year, maybe something like that. And the AI is fine. My only gripes with AI is usually you can, if you really go by the rules and push it, you can try to play around some of the AI thinking. Same thing with the Super Jedi Explorer. So
yeah, I see what you mean. But still, the game that we played, lots of them, even if we played like smart, at the end it was really close.
Oh yeah, it was still balanced. So
that's why I was recommending.
It was fun, yeah.
All right.
But not much more experience than that.
Yeah, I'm still trying to think of some more. I know there's more than what we've named. But nothing's really coming to mind right now.
And the other tabletop games, the other games I've seen are more board games, and there's no minis, and it's not an AI deck. Stuff like Pandemic or Ghost Stories or stuff like that. So.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not the same time.
All right. And our last question is from Yom Le Machine, or as we know him as Yomasta on Twitter. And he says, I just want to know if you have any plans to updating the outro.
Good question. I love this guy.
Yeah, that's a good question, Yom. I think... well, you have to pass your probationary period first.
How long is that again?
Well, it varies depending on how much I like you.
Oh, you're in deep shit, man.
Yeah, I think I'm never going to make it. No, it's just like it's been a couple of episodes, right? Like most of the recent ones I've been on the show, and it's like, at the end, maybe having my name, you know. Since I'm always on Twitter, you know.
Okay.
More I'll than tell you, what, Paul.
If you can do one episode without making a crazy voice for no apparent reason, I'll put you in the...
Then I quit already. No. Can't do it. Can't do it.
No, actually, I plan to redo the outro anyway, because it's got lower sound quality than the rest of the show. It's been on my list to do for like 6 months, and it never comes to the top of the list, because we're always behind on episodes, and I've always got shows to edit, and there's always tons of other stuff going on. But it is on my list of to-do things, to include your information and Steve's.
Yeah.
So.
But I understand we'll get there. It's not important. Yeah. When I saw the request for questions, like, I'm going to ask for the outro.
It's not that it's not important. It's that you're not important.
If Steve asked, it will be done.
I would start a campaign on social media. Let's ask our fans that you want the show.
Yeah. We already have Andrew against you.
Yeah, Andrew doesn't count. He's a town idiot. Doesn't count.
But he likes.
I'm talking Mike Despirito. Hey, buddy, Mike or Mark. Hello, Mark. Say something, next Mark.
Next thing you know, you're gonna get Larry petitioning us on his podcast. Because I hear you guys talk all the time.
Yep.
So, you know what's funny though is at first I thought the Andrew. You know, anti-Yom thing was because of Yom's French accent. And then I remember that he was hashtagging to make Steve a geek originally. So. Yes.
Well, that's how it started, because I thought like they were playing the same game. So we started like a campaign, make Steve a geek. But then it kind of transformed into a anti-Yom thing. I'm still not clear if he's kidding or if really is an idiot. So, hi, Andrew.
I'm sure he's kidding.
I hope he's kidding. I mean, I hope he has a life or something.
Everyone loves you, Yom. It's all good. It's all good.
I know. All right,
we've gone off the rails now. And that's it for questions. We have nothing else. So hopefully people have got their models painted by now that they've been working on, because I'm sure they haven't been listening to us. Do we have anything else to add? Any shout outs? Anything before we close up the show, guys?
One thing, the last weekend was the ND Open, and it was also the last ND Open. It was ND Open 8, and sadly, Dominic, the main organizer behind Norton Defender, is taking his retirement from event or organization. So he's been running that for 8 years, been running leagues and stuff like that. So I just wanted to shout out them for all their great work he did. And hoping we'll see either a new event in the guise of, let's say, Quebec City Open that Max Dubois is organizing, or maybe somebody else picking up ND Open with the approbation from Dom or something like that.
Sure. Okay. Well, yeah, Dom, thanks very much for all the hard work you put in over the years. I mean, I've attended a couple events. They've been great. So good luck to you in your future endeavors.
And he all did right. Really great for the community. That's true.
It's really important
to underline that.
It's tough. You know, we have a lot of gamers here in Montreal, but we also have the least motivated gaming community I've ever seen.
That's so true.
And I'm including myself, right? We all want a game. We all want events, but none of us want to leave our house to do it. It's really strange. And, you know, trying to organize events at stores, doing the painting class organization, you know, it's astounding.
We could have a whole show on that.
Yeah. It is strange. And what people need to understand is that if they don't participate, these things all just disappear.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know how many times we've said that it was the last yesterday. Yep. After each event, or almost, I say that.
Behind the curtains. Yeah. Oh, are we done?
Well, it's tough. And it's draining to put so much time and effort into something that no one really wants to participate in. But then if you close it up, everyone's like, oh, I can't believe that's the last one.
Yeah,
it's funny.
I was listening to Art7, the French podcast of Warm Hearts, and it was something that they said because at that point the restriction was bad for the ND Open, for Warm Hearts. So they kind of did a shout out to all the players, to all the list their listeners. Like, guys, we ask for a second event for years, and now we have one. Like, just go register. Because people, like, they don't mobilize.
Yeah. Also, I think there was a bit of a scheduling issue this time, right? It fell on Mother's Day weekend. That didn't help.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
what are those?
Well, not all of us were hatched, Yom, so.
Was cloned.
You were cloned. I'd ask from what, but I'm not sure I want to know. But yeah. Seriously, folks, so what do they call it? The public service announcement for the episode, the PSA, is participate. Participate in your local communities, participate in your local events. Help make these things happen. Because you'll regret it if you don't, and they disappear. And on that note, I think that's it for this week. So I'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Right. Cheers, people.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Read our blog at geeksofthenorth.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth. Or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, on Twitter at PRFilio, and Antoine at Eltonio Berg. See you in 2 weeks, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Broken Prism Reviews, a YouTube channel bringing you game reviews in three parts, unboxing, express gameplay, and a quick rundown of what makes the game stand out. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.